Good morning and happy Sabbath. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, I just thank you so much for such a beautiful morning and that we can come together and worship back at Eden Valley. Thank you for sparing this place. It is truly a miracle, and I just thank you so much for that. Please send your Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to open our minds, to gain something from this sermon, and that the words that I speak are not mine, but yours. In Jesus' name I pray. So, today, we're going to be looking at three spiritual battles. The first two have already taken place, and the third one we are currently dealing with today. The first two we're going to go through fairly quickly because they're well known, but the last one we're going to spend our remaining portion on. So let's begin looking at the first battle, and we'll find that in Revelation 12, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse 7 through 8. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the devil fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So this was just the beginning of spiritual warfare. It did not end sin. This first battle only removed sin from the kingdom of heaven. So where did sin go? Where were the devil and his angels forever bound? If we continue reading in verse 9, we'll see where sin was bound. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we see they were cast into the earth. Notice it does not say onto the earth. It was into the earth, the outskirts of heaven. We know there are other worlds, and that they all had the same decision to make of the two trees. It would not have been fair if Satan was only bound to our world. The only people he would have been able to tempt would have been our human race. We all know that, unfortunately, it just so happened it was our earth that gave into sin. And let's look at Revelation, still in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And in verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So, because of sin being cast from heaven, all of heaven rejoiced. But notice this part of the verse, the part that says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you. He came into the earth's realm, but it was only when Eve partook of the tree that she invited sin to dwell on our earth. So there was war in heaven, sin was cast out, and all of heaven rejoiced because of this. This is the first battle. When Eve ate the fruit God commanded not to eat, it was the invitation for sin to forever dwell on our earth. God knew that he could not let sin last forever, or it would be the destruction of everyone. He knew that a second battle must take place to forever destroy sin. But the second battle would hurt him much worse than the first one. Casting Lucifer out of heaven broke God's heart. He had so much love for him. After all, God created him and put him in a position to be the overseer of the other angels. But he knew that Lucifer had made his final decision. This second battle, though, would lead to the death of his son, his only son. I can't even imagine how God felt sending his only son to the forefront of the battle knowing that the only way they could be saved is if his son would lay down his life and be killed for our sins. During Christ's life on earth, he was in a constant spiritual battle. Most of us are familiar with the story of Christ's temptations in the wilderness, but all throughout life, it was a constant battle. Even when he was led to the cross, all the way up until his death, temptation was there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, verse 38 through 44. Matthew chapter 27, verse 38 through 44. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. So we see here that even the thieves on the cross were involved in his temptations. All the way up until Christ's death, he was tempted. Now let's look at the last words Jesus said before he died. You don't have to turn there. It's in John 19:30, but they're well-known words. Jesus says, it is finished. So when Jesus said, it is finished, he did not mean that his life was ended, but that the spiritual warfare was finished. Satan was forever conquered. Before then, you would have to offer a lamb for your sins with the hope that Jesus would one day come and be that lamb. The lamb that they would sacrifice had no power itself to forgive them of sin. It was the faith, trust, and hope they had that Jesus would come to forever conquer sin. If Jesus never came to die as a sacrifice, it does not matter how many lambs they sacrificed. Everyone would be eternally lost. So sin, the devil, and his angels, from that point on, have been conquered, and we need to acknowledge that he is defeated. But you might say, then why am I still being tempted? Well, first of all, it is not a sin to be tempted. It only becomes a sin when you give in to that temptation. Second, it is because sin is still around. We have been caught in the middle of the battle. Satan can no longer hold on to your life because he is defeated, but you still have the choice to join his side. I've heard people say, and even caught myself saying, I wish Satan didn't have a hold on me. We need to stop thinking this way, because Satan does not have a hold on you. We must not give the devil that credit. It is our selfish choices that tie us to sin. Ministry of Healing, page 210 in our books, paragraph 3 says, self is the enemy we most need to fear. No form of vice has a more baleful effect upon the character than has human passion, not under the Holy Spirit. No other victory we can gain will be so precious as the victory gained over self. It's our own selfish habits that allow the devil to use us, because at that point we have made a decision on which side we are fighting for. There is no middle ground. We must now make a choice. It's all about your choice, and it's all about my choice. Which army are you going to choose to fight for? So, we can also see illustrations from nature. Right now, we're all familiar with the elk, and it's the mating season and all of that for them. I don't know if elk really do the bulls. Yeah? Okay. I haven't seen that personally, but I've seen videos and such. So that kind of reminded me, like, you know, Jesus came, he conquered Satan. Satan knows that he's been conquered. Just like the bull elk, they will fight over the females, and whoever is the stronger male wins, and the other one's conquered. And so that one may be wandering off and know he's conquered, but something will click in his mind and he'll be like, I can't let him win. I got to go back for one more fight. So he turns around and one more fight, even though he knows that he's already been conquered. And the same is with Satan. He knows he's been conquered from Christ's death on the cross, but he's coming back one more time. And as he comes back, he's trying to entice us onto his side. And that's his plan, because he can no longer hold on to us. But if we decide to join him, well, then that's our decision. So back in Bible times, the Israelites were God's chosen people. Today, God has a chosen people as well. It is you and I. God gave specific instructions to his people to help them through the challenges of life. If we are his people, could we not apply the lessons he taught the Israelites so many years ago to our lives today? Let's take a look at this verse. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 20. And see, I didn't mark in here. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 20, starting verse 1 through 4. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So, in chapter 20 of Deuteronomy, we see the regulations concerning war God gave to Moses to share with the Israelites. Now, keep in mind that this was a physical battle, and today we're not in a physical battle, but we are in a spiritual battle. So, what I want to do is apply this verse to our day and what we're supposed to be doing right now. So, you can kind of follow along in this verse. And just read along as I read this. When you go out to face the world, and you face sickness, disease, and sin, and evil seems greater than your own, do not be afraid. The Lord your God, who brought you out of the despair of this world, is with you. When you prepare for mission work, or ministry, or Bible studies, etc., the pastor must come forward to speak to the congregation. He will say to them, Listen to me, all you. Do not be afraid as you go out to minister to those in the world today. Do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them as you go door to door. For the Lord your God is going with you. He will minister for you and through you to those of the world, and he will give you victory and winning souls. So let's continue reading on in the Bible. Verses 5 through 8. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard, and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto the house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. So here we see that the officers of the army would address the troops, giving them a choice if they would stay or leave the army. The reason for this is because they didn't want any questions, hesitations, or anything that would hinder their mindset on the duty that they had before them, which would affect their fighting ability. They also could not let the enemy sense their fear of death, because fear is a weakness that the enemy will use to their advantage. We are not called by God to fight flesh, as the Israelites did, but that which we are called to fight is a spiritual battle. In Ephesians 6:12, it's talking. We can turn to Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So like the Israelites, we should not have any attachments to the things of the world. We should not have any fear, for this distracts us from ministering to others. We must have a clear mind, so when we are faced with a difficult situation, we will hear God's voice and know how to best answer. Since we're already in Ephesians 6, let's look at verse 13 through 17. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So the only way to have that clear mind is by a relationship with God. When we gain the relationship, he will give us the armor of God to protect us. But it is our duty to make sure that we always have the armor on. During Roman times, if you were a Roman soldier, you would take an oath to wear your armor 24/7. You are not allowed to leave your house without it. Just like the soldiers, we should never start the day without prayer. We must ask God for the protection he has promised us. In Ministry of Healing, page 211, paragraph 8, each one has a personal battle to fight. Not even God can make our characters noble or our lives useful unless we become co-workers with him. Those who decline the struggle lose the strength and joy of victory, and we all want to have victory. Each is a struggle. Each one has a struggle. There will never be a day that goes by where we will not face a struggle. We must be on God's side. Maybe you are facing this question, how do I become a part of God's army? It's not hard to do because God loves you so much. First of all, you must accept God as your Savior, that he died for your sins and conquered the devil. Recognizing that he is coming very soon and is in control of everything happening on earth. And you must surrender your life to him, because only then will he be able to use your life for what you were created for. As I was preparing this sermon and I was really, really praying about it and everything. Yesterday I was reading through and I actually started to tear up because I was like, it hit me. And I was like, You know, this is so real. People are so asleep, but it's so real. And we need to ask God to search our hearts, to show us things in our life that we need to change, and that we're ready. Because what really hit me the most is that I thought, I'm going to be preaching to all of you, and all of you are my friends, and that I hope to see each one of you in heaven. But, you know, we don't know each other, where they are at spiritually, and we know that a large majority is not going to make it to heaven, and that to me was very sad. And so I'm just, you know, as well, I was like, God, you know, I know that I still have certain areas where I'm struggling, and I just ask that you would help me with those and to continue to show me the things that I need to change. So my question is, are you prepared for this battle, this final battle? We are already in it. I mean, we are so close. We see the fires. We see the everything going on, COVID. God's trying to wake us up, and people are blowing it off like, oh, it's the new normal. It's what we're living in today. And if you have not considered asking God for the protection he has promised you by the death on the cross, I encourage you to make that connection with God, to choose his side. That way we may fight side by side and not against each other in this last battle. It is my prayer that I see each one of you there. This is such a real event taking place, and it breaks my heart to see how many of us are asleep. Will you meditate on this today with God? Search your hearts. Ask God to show you what needs to change so you are ready to meet Jesus, the one who sacrificed all for you. How many of you want to be a part of God's side?